The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. Join gardener Peter Donegan and not-so-green fingers Brian Green on Dublin City FM. Fridays, 3 p.m. The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m, Dublin City FM. It's The Sod Show number 26, and again, it's The Sod Show outdoors. We're at Dunderry Park, Navan, County Meath, for a festival that's different in many ways.
So we've had volunteer groups come down over the past, say, 4 months, doing different projects. One of them was building these seats. So we built a whole load of seats all around the grounds people can chill out on.
We're going to have little sessions down here with bands, because we had such massive amount of bands wanting to play the festival. We can't schedule them all on the stage for the 3 days, so we're going to have a few of them come down here and play little sessions at night time and stuff. Have it all lit up and make it look really magical.
So we've got these beautiful wicker lamps that we've been working on, that are, they're just paper and glue and wicker. We've actually made a few there this week. So we're going to have them all along the different avenues, and then kind of festooning as well. This is the Kern. This is where all the storytelling is going to happen.
We're in darkness. Somebody make some loud noise here and we'll get some acoustics.
In a Sod Show special, I am coming to you almost live from Dunderry House in County Meath. To my left is Martin Duffy, Natasha Duffy, Caroline Duke, and also our very own Brian Green. Martin, what is Dunderry House? How do you own it? Is it a big house? Is it a small house?
Yeah, we have a big old Georgian house on 25 acres that we completely renovated 14 years ago. It's owned by the Oak Tree Charitable Trust, which is an organisation that runs this place to help people who've been through different traumas and stresses in their lives. For example, people from Northern Ireland, the Rape Crisis Centre, refugees, that kind of thing. And we run it as a kind of a social enterprise in the sense that the house itself generates the business. We rent it out to other people. We get revenue from that. We also run our own courses. And all the money and profits we make go back into the charity to provide free spaces here for people who need to come here, who can maybe afford regular counselling or therapy out there in the world. Particularly at the moment, we're finding, you know, a huge increase in suicide rates, in depression, people having all sorts of breakdowns because of the pressure. So our demand for our services is much more in need now than it ever has been. So, of course, we're needing more funding, and that's one of the reasons we decided to set up our own kind of little festival, a folk festival.
People were almost wondering where I was going with this and what relation I might have to the great outdoors as the other two girls start laughing, but we're going to get there in a minute, but just give people a little bit of a history behind Dunderry House, if that's possible.
Yeah, the house itself is about 260 years old, and I met a lady in the UK about 15 years ago. She was an elderly English lady, and she'd run a centre like this in the south of France. And we connected, and we had this idea that we would have a similar vision for something here in Ireland. So she came here. We set up the Oak Tree Charitable Trust together as joint trustees. We bought the house here on 25 acres, and we completely renovated it. I mean, what you see here now, at the time, you'd be standing in the foundations here, looking straight at the sky. Everything was peeled back to the walls, the bare brick, because it had to be. It was being such an old house, and we completely renovated. But as you can see, we kept it in the original style, the Georgian style. We kept it to its original character, but everything is absolutely new. And we did that. That was financed by Lorna St. Alban herself. She put her money into the charity to create this space. And then when she had it done, she said, right now, Martin, it's over to you. And she headed back to the UK. And of course, she died in 2005. Wonderful lady, great vision. And we're still carrying on her work here today. We have 25 acres of parkland. And as you can see, we have a lake. Now, what we've done here is, because we're very much involved in eco-friendliness and working with the environment, we've planted 250 deciduous trees here, broadleaf Irish origin. because we're kind of trying to create a kind of a woodland space here and parkland. We're not farming the land as such, although we have gardening at the back, as you can see. We grow our own fruit and vegetable for the kitchen as much as we possibly can. The land itself is being used for people who come here who live mostly in the cities to get away from it all, kind of the green space. We find that this whole idea of eco-psychology, the idea that people coming out into the countryside, is therapeutic in and of itself.
Part of the reason why we're here is because Natasha gave me a call to say, hi, Dundary House, the Trust, is running a festival. Now, when she first described it to me, I thought, oh, mini electric picnic, pardon the contrast comparison, but I wasn't far off the mark in my perception. How did you, number one, rope your daughter into this? And I'll follow up with her thoughts on how you managed to swing that around. But how did you manage to rope your daughter into working with you, number one, which is not a bad thing? Yeah. And number two, did she come to you and say, festival?
Well, up the last 3 years, I've been at Electric Picnic, as it turns out, running the Shamanic Dome there, doing shamanic journeying for people. And I saw that the body and soul area was a wonderful idea. But for me, it was in the middle of mayhem, in the middle of a big festival. And I just didn't think it worked so well in that regards. So I said, well, we have the space at Dundary, we have the people. So, like everything else with me, it starts as a crazy idea and then I start putting it out. So I started putting it out to Natasha here. And Natasha had worked with MS Ireland, and so she was familiar with the voluntary sector and working with charities. And as I said, we're a charity here ourselves. So it's true to Tasha here, she gets on with things, and before I knew it, she says, that's doable, we can do it. And so we started working together August of last year, and we began to put the plans together for the festival and other... we were trying to come up with fundraising ideas.
Yeah.
And between us, we came up with the idea of the festival.
Natasha, to get you on that point, as a charity, you're one of the few that's kind of turning around. I don't mean this to be disrespectful to other charities, but is it fair to say that you're kind of the creator entirely of almost your own funds, as versus we need some money to do this? It seems to be, well, what can we do to generate a few bob to make this extra bit? Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, definitely. Like, that's why I said I kind of class us more so of, like, as a social enterprise than anything, because we are creating our own revenue in order to fund the things that we want to fund if that people can't afford them. And it seems like a more sustainable way to grow something like that, you know, because you're in control of your own funds that come in. And working in charities, I've been working in charities for lots of years now, and it's definitely getting more difficult. Like, I was, when I was working in MS Ireland, which is a brilliant charity for people with multiple sclerosis, and I know that there was less kind of donations, regular donations coming in, less people signing up for things, you know, so you need to kind of look at things maybe in a different way, maybe shift your perspective a little bit and go, right, how can we do something else or work outside the box in order to get the money in that we need?
So when you decided, I suppose, with agreement from Martin to run this Spirit of Folk Festival, the first thing you did was you rang up the Hot Sprockets and said, hi, I'm Natasha, how are you? Would you like to play this gig? And they said, sure, go ahead. Is that how it all happened?
No, not exactly. We were a bit more sensible than that. The first thing we did was a business plan. So we said, right, we need to kind of look and see if this is something that is actually doable and makes sense in every aspect, you know, that kind of way. So we did our business plan, we did our production plan, we looked at the figures and we said, right, we can do it. So then it came round to, we got this lady involved, Caroline Duke, who's been working in music for years and really passionate about the music scene in Ireland in particular. And we wanted, obviously, Spirit of Folk, we decided on folk and traditional music. We wanted something that would suit the whole atmosphere of the festival. Myself and Dad as well are really into folk music. We were very much into Steel Eye Span, Fairport Convention, Planxty, all that sort of stuff. But we saw, and from kind of information that Caroline gave us, that there was this huge revival of folk music happening in Ireland at the moment. There was, like, people started to become interested in it again. There was loads of these different kind of folk nights popping up all over the place, and people actually getting somewhere with their kind of singer-songwriter or kind of more rootsy kind of music. So, which obviously was great news for us, because that was kind of coming to a head at the same time we were deciding on what kind of thing to do.
Before we get into the music side of it, I mean, I've always kind of had this theory that, you know, if you're camping, if I can get you into a tent, if I can get you outside, if I can get you into a park, if I can get you outside, well, you might look at a tree and you might turn around and say, well, that's nice, I'd like one of them in my garden. That's its relation to the Sideshow as it stands so far.
Yeah.
From the perspective of all things green or anything that is green, the spirit of folk is a heck of a lot more than just the music side of it. I mean, down to the storytelling cairn that you have. Can you tell people what a storytelling cairn is?
Sure. On the grounds of Dundarry Park, we have a cairn. And it was built a couple of years ago by some people who were down here. You might be able to say a little bit more about the cairn.
Yeah, it was built some of the people who come here. They wanted to give something back to the centre because they had gotten so much from here. And this guy was a building contractor. So he built this cairn, which is in the same design as Newgrange or what you find up in Sleaf na Cailleau up in outside Oldcastle. The old cairns were burial chambers, but they were also ceremonial chambers used by the Druids and our shamanic ancestors. So we got one built here, and we use it for ceremony and ritual and journeying with the drum. And Natasha thought it would be a wonderful idea to have storytelling in there, which is in keeping with the folk nature of the festival. Mm. So the storytellers will be inside.
Yeah, they're going to be. We have some amazing storytellers, actually. We have Pat Spate, who is the storyteller in residence down in County Cork. And we have Richard Marsh, and we have Anne Farrell, a couple of really good storytellers from all around the country. I think we've about 8 altogether, which will be doing storytelling in the Cairn on Saturday and Sunday. It was a really important part of the festival, we thought. So we said we really want to put energy into it because the spoken word, and, you know, especially like it's very much part of our heritage, you know, to tell stories in that way. So then we said the Cairn is there. It's really beautiful. We'll have to give you a look. But it can be filled with candlelight as well. There's all these different places and it just looks really, really magical. So
more than that, I noticed there was falconry.
That's right, yeah.
Did I hear tell of... Give me the stuff, the falconry.
There's falconry, archery. We've experimental archaeology.
Holy good.
Which we were working on this week, actually. So there's a couple of things we've done. We have created, we're going to have a fake dig for the kids. So we've actually dug a trench and we've buried all sorts of bones and pottery and different kind of mini sites of what you'd actually see.
This is
real.
Time team.
Exactly.
For kids.
Time team for kids.
Right, okay.
And they'll get a little certificate of achievement after the weekend as well.
Brilliant.
Of what they've been working on. As well as that, we're going to be making spears and bows and all that sort of stuff. So we're going to have a whole area for experimental archaeology. We also have Fingal Living History coming down as well.
Brilliant crowd.
Yeah, they're fabulous. I love them. And they're going to be doing kind of small-scale battle reenactments. They're going to have coiners and blacksmiths and cooking sites, all that sort of stuff as well.
Natasha, just to put in perspective, games-wise, this won't be a Ferris wheel et al. Kind of continuing on to greater stuff with popcorn. Give me the top 5 activities outside that will be taking place over the weekend. I'm going to start you at rounders.
Yes, that's right. We have a whole area dedicated to games because we really wanted to promote, you know, kind of ideas of just having fun with your friends. So we have rounders. We're going to have cycle jousting, which is going to be a form of jousting on a BMX. So that's going to be an interesting one, I'd say. And as well as that, we're going to have an indoor games area, which is going to have kind of your kind of traditional chess and all that sort of stuff, as well as more kind of contemporary games, because gameplay is really important, something we really wanted to do. And then in that games tent, we're also going to have dinner parties, we're going to have pub quizzes, we're going to have folk aerobics. So we're really trying to do something a little bit different with the games area.
Just to split this one across to Caroline for a minute. Caroline, you got the call. You seem to have got roped in the same way Natasha got roped into this in a, you know, pass it on kind of a way. But when you get a call saying, how you doing, we'd like you to help us run this music festival, and then you're told that the music festival that you're going to be helping to run will have no alcohol sales at all, did you kind of, well, you know, hold on a second, or how did it all work from there?
Myself and Natasha went to college together 10 years ago, so we've known each other for a long time. My background's music production. Like, I spent a lot of years living in London, where I worked at Glastonbury and Reading and Leeds, working in the bars, as it turns out.
So I know that festivals and alcohol pretty much go hand in hand, but since this is a family-orientated festival, drinking and alcohol wasn't the main concern that we had. We had looked into sponsorships with various kind of more organic kind of alcohol companies, but then you find out that you lose 13.5% of your ticket sales if you have a licensed alcohol on premises. So immediately it was like, well, there's no point just for the sake of having alcohol here for people to get drunk and whatever else. We want to keep it a family orientated festival, but also to raise as much money as possible. There's no point in losing money for the sake of a pint of cider.
Some them change from way up high. Who knows? And take these things and turn them gone. Who knows?
Sprockets from the album Country Dirt and Sleep Shake, one of the many bands you can see at the Spirit of Folk Festival.
The music we kind of kept, we didn't want it to be a rock and roll show, we didn't want it to be hip hop, we didn't want it to be pop, we wanted to kind of keep within the grounds and the people that would come to the centre. We did a lot of market research before we actually sat down. When Natasha was talking about the business plan earlier, we spent many months looking at the music industry in Ireland and just looking at the scene. And living in Dublin and working at a lot of gigs myself, you see the same kind of acts over and over again. And I think when it comes down to a family-oriented festival, you wanted something that would appeal to the family as a whole, wholesome, but also at the same time not lacking in quality. And as Tasha said earlier, there's a massive folk revival out there at the moment. Like, I myself love Americana folk. I love, like, the Decemberists, Fleet Foxes. But then you home it back to the home talents here that you have here, like James Vincent McMorrow, Lisa O'Neill, the Young Folk, the Sprockets. So really, we kind of did a lot of research. It wasn't just a simple thing of, oh, we know these people and they're in a band and they're friends. Or, you know, we didn't want to spend massive amounts of money. We wanted wholesome acts that would appeal to the whole family. So it was a lot of research and a lot of time going to see bands and then thinking they would work at the festival, they wouldn't work at the festival.
Mm.
And your roster's full?
Complete. We've had about maybe 200 to 300 bands email us after we had our schedule finished, asking to play at the festival. There was like, we crammed one or two in because they were absolutely amazing. We've had to actually just put a few bands, we've one or two or three bands that are going to play down by the well. We have a small well that's going to be like a session kind of little off the radar kind of thing. You go into the woods, there's a little well, we've built some trees, seats into the area so people can go down and have like impromptu gigs. But our schedule is completely full. It's so much so that, as I said, I work in the music industry in Dublin and I have some contacts and connections, and we had Karen from the Workman's Club, who is assistant manager there, and she came to us with the idea of hosting a competition for a band to win a slot at the festival. So from the 200 or 300 bands that have emailed us looking to play at the festival, we passed them on to Karen, who said to them, come down every Monday between now, you know, say May and September, had a few bands showcase every night. We would go down there, some from the festival, some from the venue, and now we're running this competition for bands to win a slot. So next Monday is our semi-final, six acts dueling out to win a slot at Spirit of Folk.
Wow.
Yeah, it's called What the Folk, the competition.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's our final is then the 12th of September.
Just on a very brief note, and I know Brian had brought it up there about the alcohol situation, it's not that you're not suggesting that people don't drink, it's just there will not be alcohol for sale, and that's due to licensing, as versus what you are saying, which is come down and bring your beer and wine and have the crack and have a few drinks and enjoy yourself.
Definitely.
It's just not for sale.
It's a BYOB.
Saves money for people as well.
Exactly.
You know,
you don't have to queue up and get a warm pint for a fiver. You get to bring your own cans. And
it's €95 for the weekend. That's including your camping. It's free in for kids under 12 as well.
Yeah. I think people should just be made aware that 100% of the profits go to the Oak Tree Charitable Trust. There's no any hidden, what would you call those things?
Small print,
yeah. And we have day tickets for sale as well for €59.
Which is pretty good value. For those doing the day tickets, what time does the day start at?
10 a.m. The gates open at 10 a.m.
Actually, backtrack on this one. I buy the weekend ticket, I arrive on what day?
You arrive on Friday at 3. Well, the gates open at 3 and you can set up your tent and get yourself together. And then the gates to the festival open at 5 o'clock. And then our activities start, our music starts at 7 o'clock. And as well as that, we'll have the Living History people set up. Our games tent will be going. We'll have, we've got some interesting activities happening down. We have a big shamanic dome being built down in the Curran field. And we're going to have belly dancing and all that sort of stuff as well. So something you might like to get involved with.
It's one of the holistic area and all of
that. Exactly. Yeah. We have a whole healing tent down in the Curran field as well. We're going to have all sorts of different therapies like acupuncture and massage and homeopathy and Indian head massage. There's a whole host of things.
Another important thing to say is that on the Friday night we're having a giant Kaylee session. Think Bilbo Baggins' birthday party. That's where the girls got the inspiration for the Friday night. So it's going to be very much everyone bring your instruments with you and come down and jam along and play along and just a giant session.
Brian's pointing at me here.
He's got the old guitar.
Oh, bring it along. Definitely.
Yeah, I'm sure they'd love to. Yeah, I'm usually the last act to clear them out of the pub.
You can play in the after hours tent when the kids are gone to bed and the adults get to stay up.
And you said Friday 3 p.m. That's the 23rd of September through to the 25th. You're putting folk music on the map, but put Dunderry on the map. Where are you for people to come, and should they bring cars, or how should they get here?
Yeah, we're in the middle of a triangle between Trim, Navan and Athboy. We're about 6 miles from Navan towards Trim, 4 miles from Trim towards Navan, and then we're 6 miles from Athboy. So we're just dead centre of all those towns. Dunderry Village and Robinstown Village, we're just sandwiched between those two places. And, yeah, we have car parking facilities, we have camping facilities, that's all been taken care of. So people can, if they wanted to take public transport, it's very easy to get a bus to Navan, and then it's only 6 miles out the road, you can get a cab out the road to
here. We'll have a shuttle bus.
A shuttle bus, yeah.
Just another word, Caroline, there is a limit on the number of people that are attending.
Yeah.
You've capped it. How many?
1,000.
Does that include kids?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We don't want to dilute the festival experience for people. You know, we have very select vendors, food vendors and everything, and we want people to have a really enjoyable festival experience.
Okay. And if people want to get in touch, how do they do so, Natasha?
Well, they can email us at hello@spiritoffolk.com.
Yeah.
And or they can connect with us on our Facebook page.
Go ahead.
Which is facebook.com/spiritoffolk. And we're very active on our Facebook page. You can also win tickets to the festival on our Facebook page. We do a weekly competition. And the website is www.spiritoffolk.com.
And on that note, I have to say your how to get here directions, the sat-nav coordinates work perfectly.
That's perfectly. What we like to hear.
And I have to say, wonderful looking website. Who built that for you?
That would be Dara O'Keefe of the Creative Collective, is what they're called. And he is a fantastic web designer, and he works very well with clients. He did everything that we were looking for.
Would you like to just maybe give a shout out to your sponsors and people who are assisting you as well?
Yeah, that'd be great. We have obviously the Workman's Club, which are hosting the weekly What the Folk competition. We have Lyric FM, who are also judging the final of it. We have Creative Collective, who helped us with our website for a very cost effective. Micromedia, who are helping us get the word out there via posters and flyers. We have Music Maker, who are supplying our backline for our bands. And we have Magna Carta, who are our absolutely beautiful main stage. Magna Carta are these very cool tents from Sweden. They look like giant witches' hats, and they can be brought down in any different configuration, and like in extraordinary beautiful, so and very folky. So that's going
to
be covering our main stage. And then we have Silk Road Tents, who are helping us with our games area.
Last question from me. I've just come into Dunderry, come up to the house, wonderful surroundings. Is this the vista that people will have for the concert? Are you having it out here in the front lawn?
Yeah, we'll have it out on the front lawn. As you were saying, Natasha, it's going to be the Magna Carta.
Yeah, we'll be using two main fields. We'll be using the field out here, and then we have another field with where the kern is. And we also have a lake on the grounds that we'll be able to show you. So out in the front, we're going to have our main stage and our games area, our living history, experimental archaeology and our archery. And down in the backfield, we're going to have our shamanic dome, our healing tent. We have a few tents for drumming and meditations. And then we have our kern with our storytelling and our falconry and astronomy.
But musically, you'll have kind of one stage at a time. You won't have crossover
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Just briefly, I'll do some videos of today. I'll put them on youtube.com/Donegan Landscaping. And you'll also find the blog and the podcast on iTunes. Just search Sodshow. And on blog.donneganlandscaping.com. From myself and Brian, to our guests Martin Duffy, Natasha Duffy and Caroline Duke, I shall see you, and Brian will also see you, at the spiritoffolk.com festival, 23rd to the 25th of September 2011. Take care, bye for now.
The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m., Dublin City FM.